Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. A TV show exposes a corrupt justice system. But first, I'd like to welcome you back to the New World Next Week for 2016. James, this is our seventh calendar year of doing this show, and it is my pleasure and privilege to keep doing this show with you week in, week out. What we talked about last when we wrapped up 2015, I basically said it seems like a divide and conquer thing. So we'll put together a little bit of a hat trick showing the divide and conquer that's literally playing out all over the world. And we'll take it initially from Zero Hedge as Swiss Army Chief warns of social unrest and calls upon citizens to arm themselves. Swiss Army Chief Andre Blattmann warned in a Swiss newspaper article on Sunday, the risks of social unrest in Europe are soaring. Recalling the experience of 1939-1945, Blattmann fears the increasing aggression in public discourse is an explosively hazardous situation and advises the Swiss people to arm themselves and warns that the basis for Swiss prosperity is being called into question. So the German news outlet that did this translation reports that the general was, or the chief rather, was speaking on record for the first time since the November Paris terror attacks. Blattmann told the paper that despite a rise in security incidents over the past 2 years, Switzerland's means of defense were being reduced. The situation is growing increasingly risky, Blattmann begins. The threat of terror is rising. Hybrid wars are being fought around the globe. The economic outlook is gloomy, and the resulting migration flows of displaced persons and refugees have assumed unforeseen dimensions. Blattmann continued by saying social unrest cannot be ruled out. Now, this translation gets a little dicey, and I realized I was having trouble with it because it's something in the translation that's lost. So we'll put this to the audience and to all the people out there who pretty much help make this show what it is. Figure out exactly what Blattmann's talking about when he says the mixture is increasingly unappetizing and he sees the basis of Swiss prosperity being called into question. Warning that the basis for Swiss prosperity being called into question. So that gets into areas I'm not really sure, James, but I think basically he's saying this situation looks like the situation preceding the last two wars and advises people to arm themselves. It's interesting, James. Swiss Armed Forces have basically another kind of garbled translation. They've been running drills based on social unrest in Europe being the kickoff. Swiss politicians, however, responded with disbelief to the army chief and hold his warnings are exaggerated. So, James, we've got a few other related stories here that show the situation in Europe at large and the whole entire area is getting much, much worse, as we've talked about. I can blast through the other headlines, or you can take that Swiss story right now if you want.
Well, I'll take that, and then we'll follow up with the other headlines, which really just flesh out the social dissolution that, again, we did talk about as being one of the key trends for 2016, and we're already seeing right now it's being picked up on by a lot of people, including this Swiss Army chief. So there you go. I think that it's important, once again, to highlight something that we've talked about many times in the past, but is going to become more important, is that back in the 1930s, the Great Depression, at least there was social coherence at that time, and there were people who would stick together, and there were families, and there was an agrarian economy to some extent. Imagine that type of economic calamity happening in this era with people already on edge, already at each other's throats. Yes, I think social dissolution and civil war of some sort is really on the cards in a lot of different places, the Europe and the U.S. and other places besides. So this is one of the main trends that I find very foreboding for the new year. I wish there was some ray of hope here. I wish there was something positive to say, but I don't think there is. Probably it is a good idea for people to at least be prepared for what is coming and take that preparation in whatever way you wish, whether that means arming yourself to the teeth or whether that means what we've been talking about for years and years here, getting ready, getting off the grid and to the extent possible, forming communities with people around you of people that you can trust and rely on in emergencies. Because once again, that's what's going to see us through this, not crying out for mommy or daddy government to keep us safe from this.
That's the scary part you pointed out, James, is that the difference now is you've got just generations of people who aren't going to be able to order food on an iPhone if everything falls apart. And just, yeah, we used to live with our families and we used to have victory gardens and things, but all those things are gone now, unfortunately. James, the headlines that I was referring to, kind of painting out the world picture in this first segment, Sweden and Denmark adding border checks to stem the flow of migrants as a scandal getting larger and larger in Germany. Meanwhile, Germany shocked by Cologne New Year gang assaults on women, and now even the mayor of Cologne has gotten in trouble, gaffe, for remarks of saying, oh, well, I guess you should probably be careful if you're going out because you might get raped. That's the situation that, again, has the divide and conquer being ratcheted up, James. So if that's the sort of world view, I can then turn here to America for our second story this week on episode 254 of New World Next Week, with two articles from activistpost.com that I think do a good job of looking at the situation here in Oregon. Internal war is now on the horizon for America. And that article from Activist Post actually begins by going through all the other situations, James, that we've just kind of referred to, but also throws in, of course, the Saudis and the Israelis and Iran, all those other powder keg situations. But then, over the weekend, in Oregon, Amon Bundy and friends lured hundreds of protesters under false pretenses using the Hammond family tragedy as a vehicle to then initiate a takeover on federal buildings that have no strategic or symbolic value, boxing themselves into a static position and proclaiming themselves to be the tip of the spear in the fight against corrupt government. In the meantime, on one side, anyone who questions the validity of this idea or the logic behind the plan is immediately labeled a coward and a keyboard warrior by their supporters. Emotionally manipulative arguments abound because there are no tactically rational arguments to be made, which says the plan was doomed before it was implemented. Some desperately even calling and clamoring for a fight, and they don't care if the circumstances are intelligently executed or idiotically executed. They only care that it kicks off. James, this situation in Oregon basically has turned into a meme, a 24/7 news story, a psyop, a distraction, everything that sort of is, I guess, tailor-made for a kind of divide and conquer 2016 story. So the fascinating thing for me, James, is that you sort of have now a large segment of the population pointing out, hey, if these were different kind of guys, they would have all been wasted by now. And then almost in a lot of ways sort of begging for that to happen. So this gets into all the sort of co-opted movements and psyops. But the other article from Activist Post, James, special ops called to Oregon as fake militiamen exposed as provocateurs by real militia. And I won't get into all of that, but inside sources basically saying, hey, it might look like they'll roll on these guys and actually go in and give them the sort of bloody standoff they want to really kind of engender. I think the best way to break it down is when you talk about feds, militias, and Native Americans. So I'll mention one last article from the Anti-Media about a deeper look at the Oregon standoff. James, I don't know what this looks like from the other side of the world to you.
It looks exactly what you're saying there as divide and conquer psyop nonsense. And it, as you say, the media is rolling 24/7 with this because it is exactly the kind of juicy, you know, scintillating story that they're looking for to generate rage clicks. I mean, that's one way of looking at this. This is the way that the internet economy is based, just to get people rage clicking on things and, in order to generate ad revenue for these big multimedia conglomerates. So it's tailor-made for them in that respect. Yeah, it makes absolutely no tactical sense whatsoever as some sort of, you know, great stand of the militia. In fact, it's not even something that the supposed victims of here are even asking for. This is just someone else coming in and trying to commandeer it. So there's all sorts of psyop stuff going on here. But I think one of the best responses I've seen to what's happening and what's developing right now in the U.S. Comes from Rutherford.org. John Whitehead wrote a very good article I'll put in the show notes. I hope people will read. It's called Playing the Government's Game. When it comes to violence, we all lose. And it starts with that, I hope, well-known quotation from John Lennon.
When it gets down to having to use violence, then you play in the system's game. The establishment irritate you, pull your beard and flick your face to make you fight. Because once they've got you violent, then they know how to handle you.
And I think that's pretty much the logic of what we're being led into. They want us to start the fight, to start some sort of thing like this, exactly so that they can then, you know, roll in with people cheering them on with us, you know, go get those guys. And yes, it'll further drive a wedge between the sort of militia public and the rest of the public and what have you, and it'll just create more of that tension. And that's exactly what they want. They don't know how to handle peaceful people peacefully detaching themselves from this system. They do know how to handle people marching in and proclaiming land for themselves and trying to start a fight with the federal government. It's strategically, tactically, it's ridiculous. And it's destined to become just more fodder for the 24/7 news media grinder.
James, I think it should be noted, as I've been in Oregon for the last decade plus, Burns, where this is all going down, is over 6 hours away from Portland. So it's quite literally a world away from sort of the city of Portland that in a lot of ways is kind of an interesting microcosm of America at large. You've sort of got the small so-called liberal centers and then the rest of everyone else. So in that kind of respect, I think it gives a little bit of perspective, I should note. James, I think this hat trick of divide and conquer stories for this first episode of New World Next Week for 2016 wraps up in some ways with a good news story, but you'll have to kind of follow me along my line of thinking, if you will. Now, when I was thinking about this story, James, I knew this might be one of those things where, again, you being on the other side of the world would kind of say, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm here to help. How Making a Murderer Turned Us All into Conspiracy Theorists. This is an article on Vanity Fair. When the podcast Serial hooked everyone by the ears in 2014, it was because it offered just enough ingredients each week for us to concoct our own strange brew of theories. Now that the second season of Serials provided a less cliff-hanging, more grounded experience, Netflix's 10 years in the making documentary Making a Murderer has stepped in to fill the gap. And while Serial has us all throwing out wild accusations every week, it never required that we personally go into steel beams, fake moon landing mode. Making a Murderer does. And it's a triumph of its storytelling structure. Even with its twisting diversions and the room it leaves for plenty of theories, Making a Murderer really puts you only on one of two sides. Either Stephen Avery is guilty of murder, or the Manitowoc County Sheriff's Office conspired to frame him. Either he shot an acquaintance and burned the body behind his garage where the blood and bones and bullets were all planted. He's either the bad guy, or dark, petty forces truly are out to get a man. So, James, this article then kind of continues and basically says it's Avery's attorney in the series who you kind of follow along with these crazy things where you basically say, man, he may as well say he believes in Bigfoot. That's how preposterous this conspiracy seems. This is a really popular show right now, James. It kind of appeared near the holidays on Netflix with all of its episodes all at once, so people have been binge-watching it. And it's a very water-cooler discussion. You know, everybody's, have you been watching it? What do you think? Oh, do you think they're lying? Do you think they've railroaded the guy? So a supplemental article, I think, goes along with this, James, from The Independent, how they talk about Making a Murderer and Serial and the rise of blood-boiling true crime stories. So I think what they mean there by blood-boiling is rage clicks, just what you're really talking about there, James. We're into these sort of emotionally manipulated, I mean, they're well-done pieces of work. And we become emotionally invested in them. So now you basically have a TV show helping people to see that, oh man, I think the justice system might be corrupt. So poet and musician Saul Williams tweeted, so it takes Making a Murderer for you to concur that U.S. criminal justice system and police are corrupt. So from that side, James, you basically now have a show going, oh my God. This TV show showed me that white people get screwed sometimes by the justice system, so that's why there are now petitions and this guy might get out of jail. That's why the prosecutor's getting death threats. We're now in the running man, James, but it's Idiocracy, I think, watching it and kind of calling for vengeance with the push of a button. So I think that's the strange situation. So that's what we would call a not unmitigated news story, but I think this exposes and shows a lot of what's going on, James.
Yeah, okay. I see where you're coming from. You're right, I've never even heard of this show. I know nothing about it. But just reading this article and what's happening here, yes, it certainly does at least bring to the forefront something that we've said for a long time, is that, you know, even police detectives are by nature conspiracy theorists. They have to theorize about what sort of conspiracy was behind this or that crime. So now getting the public involved in that process, well, I mean, it's interesting from that perspective, I guess. Again, I can't speak to the show itself. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it does... it's interesting that it takes something like this. It's interesting that it plays into that rage click phenomenon. It's worrying that we do... now have an economy that is more and more predicated on driving that wedge between citizens and profiting from that. I mean, that's a worrying paradigm in and of itself. But is there anything really good that we can take away from this? On the good side, it does show the power of media. Again, if there are people this has never occurred to them, or they've never wanted to think about it, who will think about it because of a TV show, that means, again, if we become the media and we put out our ideas and our viewpoint and show the world for our perspective and the things that the facts that are really important, it can and it does and it is making a difference in the way people perceive the world. So that is a positive thing. Let's try to steer away from big corporate media versions of that, though, and keep it in the alternative independent media.
Well, and I think it should be noted, James, that Making a Murderer, as I said, was 10 years in the making. It's not like greedy guys and Netflix all just hatched this thing last month and was like, hey, you know, it would be a good divide and conquer thing. They've been working on this for a long time, but your point is well taken, that hopefully people are inspired by Making a Murderer and Serial and know something in their town, and will maybe look at cases and situations in their own town and say, hey, you know, I've always had this hunch about this or that story or crimes or misdeeds in their own town. So that's really where it turns into making your own media, James. So maybe one other good news note, if I can shoehorn it in. How about the first episode of the new Good News Next Week series? I called it Making Corporate Politicians Wear Their Corporate Logos, James. I began it this last week, and the idea is to do it every week. I'm still kind of working on the format and the credits and all the whiz-bang, all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, I think I've kind of been taking the Ernest Hemingway angle of just the quickest answer is doing the thing. And so making that media and doing it for real and pretty much day in, day out for MediaMonarchy.com has been a big good news thing. So hopefully people will watch the Media Monarchy feed for now daily media, James.
I hope so. Nice shoehorn. I absolutely 100% concur. I'm so glad to see you doing this. I love the first episode. I'm looking forward to many more. So I hope people will check that out. Of course, we'll put the link in the show notes so you can go check it out and check out all the work at Media Monarchy's YouTube and MediaMonarchy.com.
There's also, of course, the old classic hashtag New World Next Week, and briefly just a couple of other quick headlines that we're following and also updates on stories that we've covered in the recent past here on New World Next Week. U.S. hypocrisy exposed as the world's biggest arms dealer moves to limit America's access to guns. Meanwhile, U.N. human rights investigator for Palestine quits over Israeli interference. Facial recognition company creates a tattoo detecting technology for the police. Meanwhile, Microsoft shows off just how much data it is collecting from Windows 10 users. And the update from a story we covered here back in October of 2015, Indonesia shocked by the acquittal of the firm related to those forest fires that actually create more pollution daily than the entire U.S. economy. We will include that link back to the October 2015 episode of New World Next Week. And James, I'll just close off by saying again, we can't do this show without getting the news and the information open source style from everyone out there. And hashtag New World Next Week is probably one of the best ways.
That's it. Well, let's keep learning our way forward through 2016. We'll document the collapse and calamities and hopefully some of the good news as well. All right, James, thank you again for three stories. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.